bing me. You bing me, I'll slap a hoe.
Emails.podbean.com.
It's Google, motherfucker.
Welcome to the call to Ian, you cop-sucking motherfucking dog shit ass cunt bitch.
Welcome to the Ian Ellis podcast. Today we're doing a replay. I just did Brad Stupak's podcast, so I'm going to put his podcast in here along with the set I did at his open mic afterwards. So shout out to Brad Stupak. If you like this, go check out his podcast. I was actually the last guest he had on before he took a break about a year ago. So go find Brad on iTunes or Spreaker. You can put in Brad Stupak, S-T-U-P-E-C, Stupendous Podcast. Anyway, I was on it last year, and now I'm the first guest back. So a lot has changed in the last year. Check that out. Listen to both episodes. And shout out to Brad, shout out to Mike Rimley, shout out to Alex Krockman. Thank you to Brad Stupak. And come out Sunday, for a base camp, our first show. All right, thank you.
Peace.
Hey guys, Stupendous is back, at least for now. I'm trying to be pretty quiet. It is about 12:30 right now. I'm just trying to record a very quick intro. My roommates are sleeping, so I'm not trying to be an asshole and wake them up. But yeah, just got back. We had Josephine's, it was packed, so long night. But anyways, did a podcast today. It was with me, Ian Ellis, Alec Krockman, Mike Rimley. We did outside Josephine's, and it was it went off the rails pretty quickly. It was all over the place, but it was pretty entertaining. I think you guys will like it. You know, I tried this mic picks up everything, and I wanted to be able to render the background noise and things like that. But if I do that, it's going to take quite some time, and due to time constraint, I want to get this information out quickly. Just take a listen here. If you are interested, Sunday, Ian Ellis is doing an open mic, and that is going to be at the Old Lodge, and that is, now I gotta look it up like an asshole. Fuck. You know, I took notes. I have all my notes in my notebook and stuff, and I'm usually pretty prepared. Is it the Forge? No, that's that fucking, that's that venue in Joliet, the fucking place. The Forge. No, is it? No. God damn it. I actually, no, I'm not starting over. I'm not starting over. It's late. God damn. The reason why I had him on here. Everyone's rolling their eyes right now. Half of you are turning it off. Or just fast forward. That's fine too. Okay. You fucking idiot. You're a fucking idiot. You are an idiot. Okay. Ian Ellis is having an open mic this Sunday. It is May 14th. It's going to be at Base Camp. I don't know why I said the Forge. Base Camp in Lyle. It's the Old Lodge. Sign up at 6:30. Shows at 7:30. And it's starting off as an open mic. And then it's going to eventually progress into a show. So if you got nothing going on Sunday, which you may not. Not a lot to do. Just come on out there. Also, Ian has... he has an hour special that he recorded, and that is, I hope they buy this. You can find him on a pod, on a, you know, any podcast thing, iTunes, etc. No one else really wanted to plug anything, but anyways, I'm sorry that I'm like whispering and sounding like a groggy fuck. I'm just trying not to wake anybody up, but I wanted to be somewhat professional, right? So anyways, I'm going to sleep. You guys enjoy this. I had a good time with this. It got political, which I really didn't want, and I really didn't have the energy for, but that's fine. We gotta talk about it. Times are rough. Times are fucked up. Anyways, enjoy this group. Enjoy this group cast with Ian Ellis, Alex Krockman, and Mike Rimley. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, we're going.
We're podcasting now.
I just found out.
That's how I like to do it, because it's better if I say, all right, we're good. Well, and then it's all quiet. It's just
the man cow thing was, I don't want to say it was a controversy, but there was a lot of arguments going on around town in the scene about whether comics or not should do it and if it's beneficial. Jay Washington was very passionate about man cow because he fucking hated them. I thought it was a good experience just because, like, if you get to a point where you're on the road and you got to do morning radio to promote a show, which I'm not there yet, but, you know, hopefully one day. It's, I mean, that you'll say what you will about the dude, but he's been on the air for the last, like, what, 30 years or something like that? And if you can handle that guy, then you should be able to, you know. I mean, it was cool. So, like, it was, you know, very professional. They came in the green room. He's like, oh, the producer's like, what feeders do you want me to give Mancow? I'm like, what the fuck is a feeder? And it's like, just some kind of way to segue into one of your bits, so you're not going like completely cold. I got like one bit in; it got like a chuckle from me.
That's nice.
The fucking Chips Enough was his sidekick. You guys know Chips Enough from the band Enough's Enough. Fly High, Michelle. It's like every monster ballad CD and that song's on it. And I had worked with Chips Enough on a music video he produced, so I was shooting the breeze with him, and I'm like, oh yeah, because of your music video, I ended up getting on my first. Big like studio gig as far as production goes. I was on The Dark Knight as a result of it. I met a friend there and I networked my way in. And he's like, oh, that's so cool. He's trying to tell Mancow about it. Mancow's like, yeah, I don't care. Let's watch this video of this guy getting shot to death again. It's complete ADD theater, man. Like they had six clips that the show basically revolved around, and every 10 minutes they would cycle through all six clips. And there's just, I was on the show with this amazing comedian named Mo Alexander. He's a national headliner. He's from Chicago. Dude is dope. I didn't know who he was because I was a fucking open micer at the time, like I am now. And but he was really cool. But he was really like heavy at the time. I don't know. He's had some health issues since then. He might have slimmed up a little bit. He was like really like unhealthy,
odd shape,
big. No, he was just really big.
It's like, so I'm just talking about death today.
But I didn't know. And so what, Mancow comes in the green room and he's taking a look to see, you know, what's going to be next on the show. And he sees Mo sitting next to me. He's like, oh, we got to do something with you, buddy. And like I said, Mo's a fucking brilliant comic. You know, I mean, yeah, he was like very large. But so they stick him on a flatbed cart on a chair. And he has like some fucking like local independent porn star on the show that he's, you know, sexually harassing the whole time. So he has her wheel him out into the studio, and as it's happening, Mo falls off the fucking flatbed. So that's all Mancow played for the rest of the show, was Mo falling off the stage, like almost dying practically. It was really dangerous. And he just shit on Mo, and like Mo's really funny. He didn't get a word in edgewise. It's just Mancow like, oh, how fat you are. So, again, a great example why, you know, I can understand why Jay Washington would be like, dude, you know, it's not a positive experience. That was Mancow.
Well, every time I listen to it, it's just Mancow shitting on people. Or is that, like, planned? Or is it...
He's a hack. He's just done the same thing for the last 30 years. I used to have funny bits. That's when he had funny people surrounding him. You know, I don't know. Fucking guys from my generation on their late 30s who are heading to their job where they swing their hammer and hate their fucking lives, they love that kind of humor, you know?
Yeah.
Fucking fuck the minorities, and they like that shock jock shit still goes over, you know what I mean? It's not the podcast generation.
No.
You guys,
I still love prank phone calls, though. Prank
phone calls. Oh, no, he had some awesome bits, I remember.
I don't even know if he does. He had one time,
I don't know who was it. He didn't do it, but he called like some like Shecky's Chicken Shack or something as this like really regal English guy.
It wasn't.
And he's like, yes, do you take reservations? No, we don't take reservations. What's on the menu, dear? Do you have lobster? No, we got no lobster. And he just keeps going on like that. And then as he keeps asking about the menu, and she keeps saying no to everything. And he's like, he finishes and goes, do you have anything a white person would like? She just goes, nah, just chicken. It was pretty funny.
I used to listen to Q101 in the morning with, like, what's that guy's name? He was, Paul, like, Paul the Pervert, Paul the Perv.
Paul the Perv?
We're gonna have,
OPP?
Subtle Shower.
Wait, he had a whole show, or is that just
It was just, he did the weather, oh, he either did the traffic or the weather, I can't remember, but he's like, it's deep, 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 backed up, down the 50, you know, down,
do you
down
guys,
the
do you remember state. Prison Bitch?
No.
He was another one of the characters on that show. I remember he was the fucking liquor manager at the Jewel. That was his job. He'd be on Bangkok every morning.
Specifically.
Be more proud to be the liquor guy at Jewel than Prison Bitch.
I missed out on all those morning radio TV shows because I walked to school and I didn't have a car until I was like, you know, 2 years ago. 23. Yeah.
Oh, when Mankow was nationally syndicated, it was a fun show because he would get, like, big guests on. I was a huge wrestling fan, so he'd always have, like, The Rock or Stone Cold on or Mankind. And it was, like, it was fun to listen to. And then, I don't know, he just got real weird with the whole Fox News thing. He would be on Fox and Friends every morning also.
Really?
Yeah. He would check in from the radio show. And then they tried to give him a show on Fox, and then he waterboarded himself and went, no, that's actually torture. And Fox is like, well, you're done. Did you ever see Mankow get waterboarded? They pour like a half a sip of water on him and he jumps up. it's torture!
Is the washcloth?
I think the sting from the water hitting his face was more painful for him than him choking. It's like, ah, it's too hard.
Mankow's still going?
Oh, yeah, he's on the loop.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he's syndicated anymore, but he's on the loop every morning. Like I said, you know.
I used to listen to Stern.
Yeah, Stern's all right. Stern is still good. He actually has, like, semi-intelligent conversations with his guests, you know. But to each their own, I suppose, right?
I just had Loveline, man.
What?
Radio. Oh, Loveline?
Loveline.
That was good.
Loveline was funny.
I'll never forget, the best thing I heard on Loveline was this girl called in, and she said that she found out her boyfriend was cheating on her, so she gave him a hand job with super glue and stuck it to his stomach and said, deal with it. And, like, they had to go to the hospital.
Dude, I would put my little... my alarm clock radio, they got super quiet, and I'd, like, fall asleep to that, just, like, giggling, and, like, my parents don't hear them talking about sex, so.
Wow, did you grow up in, like, a convent or something?
Ah, man.
Rimley was the one dude in the convent of nuns.
Folk, you know?
It's funny, I was opposite. My dad, we'd be driving back from somewhere, my dad would always put it on, and we'd listen to it, and sometimes we'd sit in the driveway for, like, 20 minutes, so we got to hear the end of this, you know? And, like, when I was little, I remember getting in trouble for something. I don't remember what it was, but I remember pouting in my room. My dad's like, oh, buddy, you all right? Come on. Like, cheer up. He's like, here, let's turn on some cartoons. And he turns it on, and he goes across this cartoon, and he's like, yeah, watch some cartoons. And it ended up being South Park, the first episode where Cartman gets an anal probe, and he walks out. And I see all this. I'm like, oh, my God, I was probably, like, 9 or something. I don't even know.
Was your first South Park?
It was my first South Park. And ever since then, it was, like, my favorite show. Like, they had no idea until it was, like, too late. You know? My mom would buy me, like, all these
shirts. Have you
seen
any of their early movies, like Cannibal the Musical or Orgasmo?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God, so good. Orgasmo's the best. It's a Mormon, like, missionary, and he's in L.A. doing mission work. And he goes to, like, this big mansion, and it's this big porn mogul slash gangster. And he just fired his last star, who was playing the superhero Orgasmo, who has a gun on his hand. And if he shoots you with it, you give an orgasm. So somehow, I don't know how the plot goes, but Trey Parker plays the main character, and he gets into porn as a Mormon missionary. And then, and actually, he meets another guy who invents the real Orgasmorator. So he becomes the actual Orgasmo in real life. It's just, it's hysterical. It's like one of the best movies. It's so funny. A lot of great
What's
quotes.
It called?
Orgasmo. Orgasmo.
I've been meaning to watch Basketball forever.
Basketball's good. That's actually not their movie, though. They just were acted in it.
Oh, damn.
Really?
Yeah. I always thought they wrote that, too, because the humor was very much like what they had done in their movies before.
Mm-hmm.
But that was cool. I was going to say, let's shift gears here, man. There's a lot going on in the world.
Oh, are you going to do this?
This is where we're going to learn about it.
What do you want? Where do you want to start?
Let's talk about your boy.
Oh, my boy? Oh, no.
Yeah, no.
I'm on the back of the train taking shots, waiting for this thing to fucking derail now.
He's going to jail. How dumb do you got to be? You fire the guy who's investigating you in the most public way possible for the dumbest reason ever.
You hear Andrew McCabe, what he said today, pretty much they are like going through with the investigation. People are like predicting like, well, he's going to get fired.
Oh, yeah,
too.
No, it's not going to stop. Nixon tried the same thing. I wasn't the head of the FBI. It was like, I think the attorney general. I can't remember. My history's a little fuzzy. But that's how it all started. It started almost in the same exact way. Nixon fired, I guess I can't remember his name. I guess I can Google it or something. Then shortly thereafter, the dominoes started to fall. I mean, there's a lot of evidence.
Well, fill me in, because
Trump is Putin's bitch.
I'm familiar with history, but not current shit. So, lay out the bare bones. Trump's getting investigated.
A long time ago, they wrote this thing called the Constitution.
Oh, I know about that. That's history.
And then they wiped their asses with it for the last 200 years. And Trump is now wiping his ass and jizzing in it.
Yep.
No, it's...
I need to have a cigarette before we do this.
The short of it is this. Oh, you better give me one more, too, then.
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry, Brad. I'm going to buy you one.
Oh, no, don't worry about it. It's fine.
I'm talking now.
It's fine.
So, the very, like, the simple dummy cliff notes are Trump possibly, or at least the campaign, colluded with the Russian government to rig the election so that he would win. And there's a lot of evidence pointing to hacking voting machines, that kind of deal, and, like, I guess, false media narratives, that sort of deal. And again, I'm not all, I couldn't give every detail on it myself, but let's just put it this way. The word treason's getting thrown around. Now, from what I understand about treason, my reading of it in the Constitution is you have to be aiding an enemy
during
of the
war.
State. During war, or as long as it's an enemy of the state. So you don't necessarily have to be at war. Now, I'm not sure if Russia is an official enemy of the state.
Well, we have sanctions.
They do have sanctions on them, so I don't know if that... as far as the procedure goes, I have no clue if that means they're an enemy of the state, or if it's just like a little, you know, time out for a foreign government, but... Basically, we can all agree that Russia is not our buddies right now. Especially all that shit that happened in Georgia. So, you know, Trump has deep, deep Russian ties as far as business stuff goes. There's that house he sold to, I don't know if it was a Russian ambassador or it was somebody involved in the Russian government. He sold him his house for about five times more than it's worth.
Sold the Russian guy?
He sold this guy. I wish I had names and stuff. I just sound like a dumb saying this shit, but... Guy paid like $500 million for a home that was worth like maybe $50
million. Okay.
Which reeks of payoff.
Yeah, yeah. This is for something else.
And also, you know, day one he was already in violation of... I forget what the name of the clause is, but basically you can't have any business ties that you're involved in while you're the president, for very good reason. And he still has not fully relinquished a lot of those ties he has, especially overseas. So it's crazy. It's like almost like there was this one SNL sketch where James Bond is at the clinic and they tell James Bond, you have every single STD known to man. They've all killed each other, so you're okay. That's like Trump.
The Burns disease?
Trump has so many fucking shady things about him that it's like no one knows where to start. Like they're all just, all his fucking corruption is killing itself. It's eating itself. And then James Bond had to get on the phone and call like every Bond girl like, hello, pushy. It's James. Listen, funny story. You know, so like, I don't know, man. He was, when I was leaving the house, he was doing an interview with Lester Holt. And he basically admitted to asking Comey directly in a conversation that pertained to whether or not Comey was going to stay on as FBI director, whether or not Trump was under investigation. Is that illegal? No. Is it unethical? Fuck yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, this whole Russian thing started, and under my understanding, was during the email dump from WikiLeaks. And pretty much what ended up happening is Podesta's emails got hacked, some very fucked up shit from Hillary,
And also, Hillary put her emails on an unsecured server that contained on, you know,
classified
documents.
Everybody else did in the history of secretaries of state.
So, what they're saying is that the Russians did it, Russians hacked it, which, from my understanding, they're still, obviously, they're not going to release it to us if it's, you know, they're still under investigation. But I haven't seen any definitive proof as of yet. But the whole thing is, like, did they do that? And they, you know, and then Julian Assange released it in vital times during the you know, the election, the campaign and whatnot, and that's what caused it. And then you got Comey, who put Hillary under investigation and then said, oh, she was highly, you know, just she, what she did was completely stupid, but no one would ever prosecute her, you know, and then it was done. And then it was like a week before the elections, he opened an investigation again. And the funny story is, everyone on the right before was like, oh, yeah, open up the investigation. And now that Comey is fired, everyone's like, yeah, that was unethical for them to him to do that to Hillary.
Well, yeah, I mean,
and that's just like,
is, you know,
it's just like, are you out of your mind? You know,
this is what I think happened. I think this is what happened. Comey colluded with Trump and made that public statement. Just hear me out. You think he colluded with Trump to make that statement about Hillary in October, the October surprise? And then what happened was is Flynn got his dumbass busted and put Comey in a position where it's like, well, I can't drop this investigation now because of this shit with Flynn. And Trump is panicking now and just trying to fucking kill all the witnesses, but, you know, not physically. Well, not yet. Because Flynn is on record saying, I have a story to tell, and he's looking for immunity. Now, looking for immunity doesn't necessarily mean that you have something substantive that can keep you from going to jail. But once you get that immunity,
well, because technically he broke the law. Technically he broke the law because he was doing the job that he was technically he was going to be allowed to do right after Obama put sanctions on Russia. But technically he was not in office yet or able to do it. Then he lied about it to Pence apparently, and Pence went everywhere saying, "No, Michael Flynn did not do it. He didn't do it." And then we have the whole Yates, you know, story where it all came out that he did know about it. Trump didn't want to fire him. He said, he's such a good guy. He's a very good guy, but we have to let him go, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because he fucking lied is what is the real problem. He should have just said that, yes, he did it. And I don't know what the stipulations would have been, because technically he would have been allowed to do that as soon as he was in the office.
But the allegation is also that Flynn could be a friggin' Russian operative.
So the whole...
We don't know.
The whole reason why he was let go was because they feared that Russia could blackmail Flynn with that information saying, hey, we know that we talked to you, so now you're going to do shit for us, otherwise we're going to leak that shit, you know, to your office, and that's going to be bad for you, so now you're going to do whatever we tell you to do. It's really what the fear was. It wasn't... If he didn't lie about it, it wouldn't have been a problem.
I'm just saying, man, get used to the the pronoun President Pence, because that's what the fuck is going to happen, unless he's fucking tied up in this shit, too. But...
Let me summarize this idea, too. He said it's earlier on that all of Trump's corruption and bullshit is, you know, mobbing itself, making a hard point to start. I would even argue that it's Hillary's mixed in there too.
Oh, well, I'm not even going to get into Hillary, but
I would say the bullshit on both sides has clouded people and made them very partisan. And now
what with Hillary?
Yeah. See, I don't even know if it's proven. I don't pay attention. There's shady.
Right, because you just listened to those sound bites coming out of Fox News. Like, well, Hillary is just as corrupt as Trump.
I'm a Bill Clinton fan
I'm not. I hate Bill Clinton.
Fuck shit comes out about him, and I think they are a team. I don't think Bill Clinton would be running the White House by any means. I think it would be her show. But I think the Clintons got a lot of shady shit in their background.
Well, of course they do. All of them.
I think they're both terrible choices. And I think because they all have their both, like, terrible... You know, things about him. Everyone has picked a side.
Right, but you understand if somehow there is enough evidence to show that the Russians influenced our presidential election, that's an act of war. That's bigger than Watergate was a robbery, and the only reason if Nixon hadn't lied, he probably would have, you know, ended up being president for the next 4 or 6 years or whatever. Forget how much he had left on his term when he finally got impeached. But this is like a huge deal, man. It's like you said, it's an act of fucking war. It influenced a presidential election.
Why are we on 4 months now and there's not a piece of evidence that it happened?
Nothing that's been released. Nothing, but there's, just, a, there's an ongoing investigation.
But if this is so important, why is it taking 4-5 months now to get to this point of something? They released something where they had, I don't know if anybody is here. It's going to come down to, like, do you like WikiLeaks or not? Because I was always been a fan of WikiLeaks and the things that they released. But they released things saying that that pretty much the FBI and the CIA are... The way that they've been hacking our devices and snooping us, which is the NSA's job, to be pretty much. But then they also said that they had a way to configure it by, like, different languages. So, like, the way that I don't know exactly how it is, but they pretty much said that they have a way to specifically pattern it as, like, a Russian hack, or pattern it, like, as a bot of, like, a different country or this and that.
A lot of nerd shit.
And who was it? McAfee came out and said, and he's like the guy, he's a fucking nut job, but let me keep going. He made, you know, he's a big computer guy, he made the antivirus, and he said no one in their right mind, no hacker in their right mind would put the language and the pattern of their, of like Russian, if they're a Russian hacker, as they're hacking. They would try to, if they're trying to get their, away from them, they would do it in a different, like,
that
who would do that?
That,
unless they,
that
unless
presupposes
the Russians are completely
that criminals aren't stupid.
Yeah, unless shit, they're completely stupid.
I mean, every
stupid.
Criminal has been caught, because they did some dumb
about,
shit.
Let's talk about Podesta's password. Apparently, it was password 1. That was his password.
Sounds right.
So, I mean, you could also say, like, you said a 5-year-old could have hacked it. Like, you know, so, I mean...
Well, if there's...
It brings it back to a very simple point.
If there's no wrongdoing, then the investigation should be able to be played out, and we move on.
Find the truth.
Why would you fire... it's not unprecedented, but Clinton fired... the head of the FBI, the FBI director, but that's because they had solid, provable evidence that there was corruption going on. Comey...
There was, like, money scandal or something.
Hadn't done anything illegal or unethical, necessarily. I mean, again, Trump... And I love Trump's excuse. What he did to Hillary was why I fired him. Like, give me a fucking break.
That
like,
is
you
why...
know when there's cameras on you that they're recording what you're saying? And in his campaign, he's like, I think what Comey did was very brave.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, you're fired. That was terrible.
Yeah, that's completely fucking ridiculous. Yeah. That's the one thing that pisses me off. It's like, make your point and stick with it. Now you're saying what he did to her was unfair.
Well, if you're talking about signs, just like, well, if Russia... wouldn't be that stupid to leave a trail that would, you know...
I don't know the exact...
that would lead to Russia. It's like, well, if Trump has nothing to hide, why is he being this fucking stupid? He looks like somebody who's panicking, who's about to get caught, just like fucking Nixon did.
This was two days before Comey had to testify, too, at the investigation. Which the timing is what alarms me, and that really pisses me off. Because if he thinks that he was unsuitable, he should have been day one. Boom, 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 Comey,
you're
fired.
Well, they're changing the story. They're trying to retroactively throw everything down the memory hole. You know, and they're like, well, I was going to fire him on day one. I wanted to, but I was busy.
Yeah, a month in, he was hugging him in the Oval Office and blowing him kisses, okay? You know. So he liked the guy. It's... No,
you guys
dude.
Both seem surprised that politicians are full of shit.
No, I'm not surprised at all. It's frustrating.
I'm really upset that House of Cards next season is going to suck now. That's what I'm really pissed off about.
It's
not going to be anything. It's like, well, it's not like real life. You know?
I don't know.
You ever watch House of Cards?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I missed an episode.
Yeah, the new season's coming out in like a couple weeks. But anyways, yeah, it's...
Okay, so now it's time for conspiracy nut Alex to chime in and say, next false flag should be happening any day now, guys. Any day. That's the big thing that'll get Trump out of this pickle that he's in right now, is we have some sort of attack.
North Korea
on domestic soil, but I don't know if he's got enough time to put it together.
Yeah, well, he bought some momentum and time when he fucking did that whole Syria thing. He gained some leftist approval, but he lost people on the right, because like, what the fuck, dude? Like, I don't know.
All the pieces are in place, man. World War III, it's coming. It's gonna happen.
Yeah, and we got North Korea. Making propaganda videos about blowing up the... Have you guys seen this propaganda video?
Yeah.
It looks like a fucking... Something that was made in, like, 1995. Like, a missile sailing through the clouds, and then it just shows, like, a picture of the White House, and just, like, a bomb coming down, and then just a picture of a plume cloud. Like just, like, they inserted it, and they're like, these guys are going to be shaking in their boots when they see this, and everyone's just making fun of it.
Donald Trump's coif just floating into the distance. North Korea ain't gonna do shit. What you don't want to do is get into it with the fucking Chinese.
Oh, look who
there he is.
Oh.
You missed the goods, man. We were just talking about it. We were talking about El Trompas.
Hey, we're talking about Mr. Trump.
Are we still recording?
Yeah, dude, we're going. Wait,
can
man.
I start by saying where the fuck are we?
Oh, all right, we are at Josephine's in Villa Park. This is where we run our open mic every Thursday.
So I'm driving around, smoking a joint, listening to gangsta rap. GPS is taking me through houses. They're getting bigger and bigger. I'm like, where the fuck are we going? It's better not be another fucking basement show. And then out of nowhere, like the Shire and fucking Lord of the Rings, this little town pops up at the parallel park, which I wasn't prepared for. And fucking...
You need to, like, mentally prepare yourself to parallel park.
I just wasn't... I wasn't ready.
You practice runs.
It's more coordination than I have right now. And then the place is called Josephine's. I was looking for Joe's. I was like...
Oh, yeah, it's a nickname.
It's like some
yeah.
transgender stuff. And then this dude in the pink shirt, Mac, looking and talking like a gay, but talking to a girl. I was like, where are we?
Oh, you brought cigarettes. That's awesome.
I will You're share.
My best friend. Yeah, let's light another. Ian's here.
Welcome. So, yeah, celebrations. I've made it to the Shire. This place is pretty cool. They have a deck so you can actually smoke when you're hanging out.
Yeah.
It's like weeds back in the day.
You look like a golem that let himself go.
I shaved my head today. I do look like Gru if he was fucking the minions.
Gru, that is perfect.
There's a curve to my dome that is beyond Gru. Like if a troll was made out of stone, I have that kind of face. Ancient statue face, they call me.
Yeah. Yeah, what's going on, man?
Where'd you drive through? You're driving to big houses. Where are you?
I came from West... I'm like, I swear to God, two blocks that way is Batman's mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And people have personal lakes and shit. Mm. I got scared, man. I thought I was going to get pulled over.
I feel like real-life Batman, he would just be so happy with his money that he really wouldn't give a shit that his parents died.
Yeah.
He'd probably be happy about it. I'm not going to go help these peasants. I can fuck bitches in my hot tub at 3 in the morning.
Drown my woes the old-fashioned way.
Might be funny, you kind of like, you project...
How much money am I getting, Alfred? Well, worth. I think Batman's officially worth like $58 billion or something like that. He makes like... Bill Gates look like a fucking pauper.
Bruce Wayne is like eternally 20.
Oh, my parents had a good life.
You project onto him whatever 20 is. And so 20 right now is kind of like some douchey, I just want the money, Jersey Shore kids.
Batman's parents didn't get murdered when he was 20. He got murdered when he was 8.
Yeah.
I know, but raised by his butler. Who lets somebody get raised by their butler? What family? Like, all the butlers got this shit. It's fine. You don't have any cousins or anybody you can go live with? It's like, we'll let the butler do it.
I saw a great meme where Batman was talking to Alfred. He's like, the sandwich is terrible. And Alfred was like, you know what happened to the last person that said that? I murdered them in the middle of the street in front of their 8-year-old child.
There's foul play afoot. Batman never solved that.
So, Brad, what happened? Because I thought you were out there podcasting steadily. Because people come up to me all the time. Oh, and they're like, yeah. I know you from Brad's thing.
Yeah.
And you say you haven't done it in like a year?
November was my last one. It was actually you were on it. And I've been doing it pretty frequently. If I had nobody, I would do my own thing. And then during that time, I got pushed to mandatory 5th, 6-day overtime. Mm-hmm. And I just got overloaded. And then when it slowed down in January, I was like, well, I haven't been. I've been in the groove of laziness. So
are you back now? Are you going to do
the full
season?
I'm coming back. Yeah, I'm moving. All right, so I'm moving
season
into...
Season 2.
Yeah, so I'm moving to a new place. Moving in with my girlfriend. And I'm going to have my own office now. I got this nice wooden, like, fucking stained table that's so badass looking that my mom doesn't want anymore. So I'm going to put that in there. It's going to be my office. And I'm going to do podcasts. I got Thursdays off now. So anytime. I mean, Thursdays might work for people, and I can be here on time. And
Comics, if you're available on Thursday, harass Brad.
Yeah, I'm going to start getting back. I had a little momentum about a month and a half ago. I'm like, I'm going to get back into it. And then work started flooding me again. I'm like, ugh. I just don't have it. It's hard to coordinate with people. Like, this is the only day at, like, 3 o'clock. This is the only time I can do it, you know.
I'm an hour free once a week on Wednesdays.
So, or I skip a mic and then I could do a podcast or something. But, like, you know, I'm going to have extra podcast room, so it's going to be kind of cool.
I really want to pull one of your toe hairs out. Mike.
Oh, go ahead. They're getting long.
So, we will be back.
Well, I really wanted to promote. We have a new show starting at Base Camp. First one is May 14th.
I'll be there.
Might have already gone down by the time this airs, but...
No, it's going up. It'll go up tonight or tomorrow.
Sunday. Come to Base Camp or we will fucking kill you. The first one is an open casting call. Any open mic, anybody can come. And then after that, it'll be a paid showcase. And I'm one of, like, 3 people that gets to kind of pick and choose and have a little bit of input on it.
Who else is producing it?
So it's Sean and the guy that runs the Base Camp, like, entertainment. So
Sean, who?
He's done, like, a couple open mics. Harris.
It's not Blaha, I was just making it. No, okay, Harris. I think I know Sean.
So he's done a couple open mics, so he's a little bit of a comic, but he works there, and he helped, like, organize this entire thing. He's the one that asked me to come on. So I don't really have the final say on, like, who gets picked and doesn't get picked, so I just want every fucking buddy to be there. And if it goes well, I'm fighting to get it to a weekly show instead of a monthly show, because monthly it comes and goes, and you miss one of them, you forget it even existed, like...
So the first one is an open mic, after that it's going to be a showcase.
Paid showcase.
Show.
Might be $20, might be $50, you get some free drinks, there's going to be shots.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
And then down
quality
the road,
show.
They're going to give me a budget to fly in headliners. And I was like, what do you pay your bands? And I was like, it was like, well, you know, $5,000 plus flight in plus hotels. And I was
what
like,
what the fuck?
For a lot less
how
than
big
that.
Is this place? How big is this place?
It's, it has its own ski resort.
I heard
it was
really
the lodge, right?
I haven't seen it, but I heard yeah. it's, like,
it used to be the lodge
live
in
Lyme.
It's built for live entertainment. They just booked DMX. He didn't show up. A little controversy there. But yeah, they're willing to give me enough money. And
what?
So people I know or people I kind of know, I'm going to reach out to them. We're going to start flying them in. And hopefully, if they have a good time, we can build it more and more. And I just want all the local comics to be the openers and the middles. And, like, hopefully we can all build, like, a bridge to the industry through this. Which is nice because, you know, we have clubs out here and they're great. I've never worked at them. but they're great. And I want something that's dead here in the center.
Yeah.
Make your own opportunities, man. That's cool.
Well, you're hitting the you're hitting the ground running, that's for sure. So second Sunday, mate, sign up at 6:30, shows at 7:30.
And what's the venue called again?
Base Camp.
Is it at the
right
Four Lakes?
It's right off of 53. There's an apartment complex.
What town is that again?
Lyle.
Lyle.
Like right after Bolingbrook. It's where the movie theater is.
Lyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. This Sunday, I'll be there. Tell them to say
Mother's
jokes.
Day, bring your mother, you get a free shot.
No.
Let's see if my mom wants to go. She probably would. She shows up to Lyle, so...
And also, I just dropped a free album. I hope they buy this.
Mm-hmm.
And I may
but
put
it's
out.
It's free. How are they going to buy it if it's free?
I may put out a paid version with a bunch of extra content on it.
Mm-hmm. I just listened to it today.
What did you think? Because nobody apparently is listening to it.
No, I listened to it. I liked it.
We don't listen to anything. We don't listen
I've seen
at
you
all.
Live, man.
Yeah, I liked it.
I like it live.
That's it. I
like the little podcast you guys did at the end, too. That was funny.
One bit of feedback I got is they were like, should have been 20 minutes. I was like, ugh.
20
fuck,
minutes.
Go fuck yourself.
No, it was good.
But it's enjoyable and it's free.
Where was that at, by the way?
Was that was at the Whip Theater. Shout outs to the Whip.
Oh, the Whip in Edison Park. Excellent comedy there. Jimmy Wenzel and Tony Valley.
Tony
and
Valley.
Jess Avilia, who's married to Timmy, run a wonderful, wonderful club there. Great opportunity for young comics. Get in there.
Well, like Brian Dobie had done one about 2 years ago, and I was like, I've been doing material and doing and doing, and I was like, can I do an hour? Do I have an hour? Like, I'm talking all this shit like I'm good, but can I do it?
Mm-hmm.
So I asked them. They let me just book the show. They're real cool about it. I think it's open to anybody else that's like, I wonder if I got it, or even if you just want to put on a new show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to do your own showcase there, I'm pretty sure they'd be interested in that. So shout out to the Whip Theater, bringing thanks. Opportunities to comics.
Awesome open mics there, too. Tuesday night, Traffic Jam. Wednesday
Traffic Jam
Traffic
is
jam.
Fun.
Thursday night, Diminishing Returns open mic.
Yeah.
And that starts right after the Primetime 9, which is always a great show. Diminishing Returns, every comic gets 4 minutes, and then they run the list through again. Every comic gets 2 minutes,
and
then they run the list through one more time. Every comic gets 1 minute. And I tell you, it's really cool. I don't want to say it's gimmicky, because a lot of people are shitting on like gimmicky type shows and mics, but this is cool because you can develop that skill. Like, oh, I only have 2 minutes to be funny, or can I make something work?
That clock
you stay
is nerve-wracking.
It
does. Do a lot of people stay?
Because you can find yourself in a situation where, you know, I mean, that a lot of us are hosting, you know, award shows or doing things like that. But you
roast
know,
battles,
right? Where you got to, you know, you only have a very short, finite time to.
Kill
get
Tony's
your point
1 minute,
across.
And you'd be amazed at how much shit you can get out.
Oh, you listen, to, you listen to Kill Tony?
I used to do it a lot, and oh, then
you
I,
did it?
Yeah.
Oh wow. I've listened to it.
Apparently, you don't
there.
Listen to it.
I do listen to it. I've listened to it from the beginning. Maybe I didn't. Oh, I didn't know you.
You didn't
that.
Know me at the time.
Yeah, it was like 3 years ago.
I don't
when
think
they
you
started.
Even started comedy.
Yeah, no, for sure not.
Regular people are out there listening, getting inspired to become comics.
Mm-hmm. I like the Iron Patriot.
I got to do that with Ari Shaffir and who's a really mean comic? Anthony Jeselnik.
Oh.
Tony Hinchcliffe.
I heard he's actually a really nice guy.
Well, Tony asked me to do it, and I was like, no, I have more dignity than that. And then I was like, wait a minute, this is a great what? Chance.
What?
I didn't want to fucking walk around in a fucking costume.
Oh, to
I'm
be
a big
oh,
fat guy.
Says
be
the guy who wears Adventure Time fucking hats.
Yeah, my wife was like, where
and
the fuck are you
going? And
tucks
his hoodie into his jeans. He doesn't tuck his hoodie.
I want to look like I used to own a ska band. I'm just not good at dressing myself. I'm not snazzy. Anthony Jeselnik was on there, and I was like, this would be a great chance to fuck with him. Because you get to ask one question. So I was like, Anthony, you know, it seems like instead of developing your own style, you just stole everything from Jimmy Carr. But really, I wanted to know, what was your favorite episode on the last season of Amy Schumer? It was his girlfriend that I just broke up with him. he was like a deer in headlights. I thought he was going to tear me apart, and he didn't. And then Ari Shaffir, he's a really big football guy, and his football team had just lost. So I was like, why does your team suck at sports? And then he flipped out more than Anthony.
Yeah.
And then we went on from there.
So wait, so they did Kill Tony? They did The Minute?
No, they did. They were judges.
Oh, you get to ask the judges. Yeah. Oh, yeah, in the beginning. The Patriots, in the beginning, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You get to
ask
the judge one question.
Yeah, yeah. I remember now.
And a lot of people would take it as a chance to, like, fuck with whoever was on the show.
Yeah, so by Brian Redband and Tony Hinchcliffe, right?
Yeah. Tony's out here all the time. He's at Zany's, like, every
Yeah,
three
I was
going to
see
so.
Him. He was here, like, in November. I just didn't get a chance. The Golden Pony.
So you were talking about Trump. You were
dude.
A Trump supporter.
Dude, I'm,
last time I was on this show, you were a Trump supporter.
Okay.
Where are you at now?
Dude, I'm not good. I'm not good.
What happened?
I don't know, man.
You found what a lump?
Had enough.
You found
had
a lump and you missed that Obamacare?
I find that when I, like, before I would kind of make like, excuses. Like, oh, it's just because of this, it's just because of this. And then, like, I forgot what it was, but, like, the other day I was making an excuse in my head. And I'm like, oh, he's only doing it because... I'm like, oh, fuck, what are you doing, dude? Like, this... He's not that smart. Like, oh, maybe he's just doing this to trick people. I'm like, why? What am I doing? And, like, I just...
Well, he's
I'm not completely off. I don't want to tell... I don't want to say, like, I don't...
He's
like,
great at distraction.
If this... Here. I just think he's making a lot of dumb choices, okay? The wall, I can give two fucking shits about. The wall doesn't even matter. Okay, the healthcare bill that was proposed was not
even make it over.
He better not build any walls. He's going to need somewhere to escape to pretty soon.
But I don't even give it that. The healthcare bill was a complete dog shit. Nothing even that he proposed. All he did was reallocate the money from people who can't afford it to tax breaks to rich. Like that was not. It's still Obamacare. It's still just a reallocation of funds without the mandate, in my opinion.
Which Obama would say.
If you're sick, you can't get health care.
Okay.
Which is like saying, if your legs are broken, no cast for you.
It's that. And
I almost
panels.
Feel like, and I've said this before, I think that the health care he gave zero shits about, he just wanted it as a win so that he can get the Republican and everybody on his side so we can push through with the rest of that he should do.
Because everyone's so like, split. What should Trump do, though? What should he do? Let's pretend he's not all this horseshit is.
He could be listening.
An albatross on him right now, and what policies do you think he should
push? Healthcare should be privatized, I believe.
It was privatized.
So pretty much, instead of like, it'd be more like all the. I'm trying to think of a way to say this without.
It sounds exactly like the bill that Trump just put on.
The healthcare is the same as the internet.
Well, this is our bill, page one. Healthcare should like. Private and
it should be a competitive market. It should be a competitive market where everyone can
altruism is sin.
Real quick, what has actually changed on the Trump healthcare bill?
Nothing yet.
No,
do we know?
The bill, I believe, was a page.
Do we know?
The first goal was appeal, repeal,
appeal and replace,
appeal and replace.
No one knows.
Appeal to those who can. Cure your child. Please don't let my kid die. Please. Nope.
Well, this is where prayer comes in.
We're repealing a bunch of sick people.
There's going to be a lot more faith.
That's what it is. It's a repeal of sick people. Like sick people, you've been repealed. You're not no longer going to have an outlet to get help. But anyways, let's get back on point. What should Trump do as president? And obviously, he can't just wave a wand. I mean, like, he can't just do, like, an executive order that said, oh, wait, he can't do that.
What would the fix even be?
What should he be doing from the bully pulpit right now, though? What should he be pushing as far as policies?
I think tax breaks should be the first focus.
For who?
For the middle class.
Okay. Well, what kind of tax break should the middle class get right now?
What do you want? The big thing that he was going to do was going to completely just go over all the fucking spending that we have. Like, the military, we spend way too fucking much, and that's what something that
but Trump
said
talking about increasing military spending.
Exactly.
Well, we need that shit. He's scaring the fuck out of me.
But, like, that was one of the first things he said, that they spend it, you know, they spend money... like in stupid shit that, you know, that people, like, I forgot what podcast I listened to, but people would, there was these technicians that would go and they would just turn over you know, different things every year.
We could fill 25 podcasts.
Millions and millions of dollars wasted. And helicopters that never get flown that are like, you know, $10 million and things like that. He's like, we're going to completely cut that. We're going to figure this out. We're going to redo it. We're
well,
gonna,
it's
we
a
don't
welfare
need to
program to the military-industrial complex is all it is. You know, it's Halliburton would be out of business if we stopped making helicopters that we don't friggin' need.
A blanket question against across all issues. Taxes, healthcare, internet, anything else he's toying with. How do you feel about regulations?
Less regulations.
Why? Like,
because
you don't need your water to be clean.
That's so broad brushstroke.
Well, in terms of, it's hard to compete.
You should really be asking, what regulations do we need to get rid of now?
You're right.
Is it the EPA?
No, God,
restrictive?
No, we should be getting rid of the EPA.
It's not just water.
And I know you're not advocating for that. I understand what you're saying, but, like, what do you think is a bad regulation right now that's hurting business in America and hurting the economy?
I don't know about anything specific, anything with the industry where you're manufacturing things like that, where they have all these different regulations. It's hard for these small businesses.
Like the regulation where, like, well, there should be fire escapes in case the building burns down.
Well, that's different.
Right. So I'm asking you, which ones are
I can't
actually
give you any specifics.
Too many regulations. Well, which regulation do you want to get rid of? Well, I don't know that right off the top of my head, but there's just too many.
For devil's advocate's sake, I would assume it would be something, say, restricting loans to small businesses.
No, there are plenty. There are a lot of regulations that favor big businesses that squash smaller businesses, like taxes. You can levy a tax. There are certain industries that lobby for higher taxes when it comes to whatever externality you may have, and it will be something that's not that detrimental to the public, but it'll keep a smaller business from coming up. Like, I get that. You know what I mean? But as far as, like, which financial regulations do you think should go away that are supposedly hurting the economy? Or what anything in the industry, safety standards? I don't get a solid answer.
Here's some of the trickery is that, like, I assume corporations are buying out how you can become a business. Like, unless you have corporation money, you can't get past the copyright or the franchising or the lawyer fees. But that is business competing, so the small business no longer deserves to exist in this world. The regulations are good because they're what allow, the flow, the stream.
But less regulation could also benefit.
How about trust busting? I don't hear any conservative friends talk about trust busting. Theodore Roosevelt, the original trust buster, the mighty Republican president, getting rid of monopolies. Does capitalism work with monopolization? Absolutely not. What is all we have in this country as far as business goes? Monopolies. Where are the Republicans on that one? If there's such cheerleaders for capitalism, the first thing you should be going after is a monopoly.
Now, I think you can answer this question, but what monopolies would you start busting?
Well, the media first and foremost. You have five corporations that own 90% of the media in, like, the world.
Yeah.
You know, I can't tell you that, what is it, Time Warner owns, like, I think, like, five news outlets here, in America alone. Rupert Murdoch has, media outlets. Soros has media outlets that are just, like, all... Talk about it, being able to create a false narrative with the flick of a wrist. I mean, just that's the first one I can think of. The oil... industry. OPEC is a cartel. It's literally an oil cartel. Now, I know you can't bust up OPEC from America, but you can break up some of the bigger oil companies.
Here's a question about the news, because I look at them as propaganda. But I had kind of a revelation this year when I said, who are they propaganda for? Because I assumed it was the government, but I don't think it is.
No.
I don't think they give a fuck about politics. I think it's for the corporations. The corporations are the ones that, like, sanitize YouTube and sanitize TV, and they want horrific drama so that you see those creature comforts and you want them more. So it's the advertisings that are creating this false narrative of constantly being
consume.
Feared.
I would say obey.
Money.
Where's Roddy
money
Piper when we need him, man?
And attention. I think wherever you can get money, and however you can garner attention.
But do we want to live in a country where the propaganda doesn't come from the government? Like,
we're not even helping our side out.
North Korea just sits back and laughs at us. Like, you let them do what? It's got to be a backdoor handshake where with the Illuminati and the false hair. The
Illuminati's a real thing. I believe in it. I don't even think they're trying to be that secretive about it. I think they're the ones that are producing all the documentaries I watch on YouTube. Like, yeah, motherfuckers, don't screw around. We will come get you.
Do you think they call themselves the Illuminati?
Fuck yeah, they do. I think that shit's cool.
I bet they got like a secret, they got t-shirts. Like, Latin name.
You get a certain t-shirt for each level you achieve in the Illuminati.
They say like the original Illuminati wasn't bad, but then they were like infiltrated and taken over after we started our country, and now they have like this.
I think it's a troll started by 4chan. Or they're just like, what will these motherfuckers believe? First, you have to get butt fucked. And then you need a blood sacrifice.
What I believe in, is conservative me saying this, is you need to streamline the government in the sense that everybody has term limits. Lobbying is not a thing that's allowed to be done by a corporation or a group. If you want to lobby your representative, you have to do it individually, and there could be no kind of exchange of money, whether it's campaign donations or charitable donations or whatever kind of money to influence. If you take the money out of our politics and make public service actual public service rather than a road to wealth, then maybe then there could be some substantive change and we could move into a world where we don't even need money anymore, like Star Trek.
That's scary, Alex. I don't like scary. That talk.
Money is stupid. We don't need money. It's archaic.
What do you mean we don't need money? How don't about need things? Money.
There's enough resources, food, shelter, healthcare in this world where everybody.
That's implying that everybody pitches in.
Yeah, you got to get to a one world government first before you can become that type.
No,
of
one world.
You
don't need a one world government to do it.
Do I have to share?
Oh, but you can
people
have.
People are spooked to that.
I don't have to share.
Even
okay,
if it
I'm
is
in.
A good idea.
Well, no one will have to work anymore. Well, is that a bad thing? Technology has caught up to the point where people don't need to do manual labor anymore. Could you imagine
that is scary,
being able to spend your day like focusing on your art or your family or like philosophical endeavors rather than having to go turn a crank all day long for $8 an hour? It's possible. You can do it. The money keeps the social strata intact because rich people don't give a fuck about money. They like that status. The Kochs like to be able to write a check and change the course of history. You know?
So if we phased out money, yeah, what if I was a Koch brother type and I wanted to see how much shit I could get? There's no more money, but I just want to collect shit. And I'm good at it. And I just start.
No one would stop you. There's no reason to stop. If you want to get stuff, you barter and trade and do how you want to do.
What if I just start getting all the shit?
Well, I mean, it depends. Like,
and you'd be Rockefeller.
Yeah.
And it's the same exact.
I don't advocate
have the
for. I mean,
changing money. You know, we're. I'm bringing.
See, that's
over.
That's the other weird fetish we have as a species is the accumulation of physical things. Where titties. your worth as a human being, as a soul, is measured mostly on the accumulation of wealth, be it property, money, women, men, whatever you're into.
Just always want the next best thing all the time.
And it's like, whatever happened to spiritual, endeavors? I just it's something you were taught. My kid in school, grammar school right now, is incentivized to do well in his academics so he can get little plastic toys out of a box. Here you go. You get this. They're called paws. They're lion paw. Here's your lion paw.
He's in the game.
Like, the only reason I want to learn is so I can get this plastic fucking troll from the last cartoon that came out. Like, I want my kid learning. He would do math because it's the key to understanding the universe. The universe is math. That's what it should be your reward, not, hey, my son's most popular in class because he has the most lollipops.
I feel like you're telling me you don't have any money.
And you're
no,
right.
Fuck no.
When I was like, fuck these bitches, these hoes, it's because I didn't have a girl in my life.
I don't know.
And
man.
It sounds like you need a dollar.
No, I didn't say fuck these bitches and fuck these hoes.
You said
right.
Money, you
I
ain't shit,
spelling.
You ain't been shit,
how's
you ain't gonna
make
be
my
shit.
Life better? Tell me how money makes my life better.
Money is one of the only things that can change your life dramatically. So when shit goes wrong,
is it always for the better?
Hear me out.
When
shit goes wrong, there's a lot of stuff you can do. You give more time. You can give more hugs. You can be nicer to people
with money.
But when shit really goes wrong, the only thing that'll change your life is money. When you have doctor's payments, money can change that. When somebody's car breaks down, money can
absolutely.
Change that.
Absolutely. In the context homeless, of the system we're in right now, I'm saying we should abolish that system.
We don't live in Narnia.
I totally agree
we'll
with
get
your
there.
Statement.
They have money in
I'll
Narnia.
I'll play devil's advocate here. I think you can. I just don't think that has to be the system. I don't think you have to think about, dang, I gotta trade this money.
Mind's blown.
Money is the ultimate institution of slavery. It absolutely is. Everything that's evil in the world has always come from the pursuit of money, and the pursuit of money is the pursuit of power. And that's as simple as that.
I saw a quote that said hunter-gatherers hunted and gathered about 4 hours a day. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's right, but that doesn't sound too bad. I want modern medicine, but that doesn't sound too bad.
We're getting picked off by mosquitoes and open
wounds.
But
we have the technology and ability to cultivate enough food and things you need to sustain yourself. And you can still be happy. Instead of focusing on like, oh, I need the new iGalaxy phone that'll blow up in my face, you could be like, oh, I should find out what my kid's into.
If people stop being materialistic, will that halt progress? What's progress, though?
What are you defining progress as?
All right, so the iPhone is progress because it's the type one. Going from type 0 to type 1 civilization, it's the global phone.
It depends on the type.
It's access to reading. It's access to information. Imagine
opening a book is access to
reading. Imagine 200 years ago, you had to hear what New York looked like, but you'd never see it. Now you can strap on some 3D glasses and walk around anywhere.
How about
on the
being
planet.
Able to go to New York with a public transit system that they have the technology for that can get you from here to New York
which
in
comes
20
with
minutes? I'd rather just go to New York than look at it through
you
this
know
stupid
how greedy railroaders are?
Matrix. But it depends on what you value as progress. To me, progress for me is more like, oh, hey, we don't need to live our lives governed by the moral standards of an ancient book that was written.
You're talking about spiritual progress, not material progress. Like material progress will come with spiritual progress, but we haven't made the spiritual progress to set down those tools.
Because we're being inhibited by your material progress.
What if you just made it happiness and
fulfillment? You only know that because you read it on a phone that came from my iPhone.
No, man. No, I did read it on a phone.
I'm sorry.
No. Happiness and fulfillment. What if that was your goal? We're collecting money. We're collecting things. You're
happiness
trying to get
happy.
Why do you think we're all on pills?
Because
we're stressed out because
temporary.
We don't make enough money to be able to just live like a sort of normal human.
You don't do what you want to do a good portion of the day.
Transgender people are like, I just want to be happy in my body. Nobody's happy in their body.
Should I just keep these?
That's some real, like, grass is greener on the other side shit. Like, you know what'll really tie it all together? I'm going to just cut this dick off. And then it's happiness, sun up to sundown.
I just read a book and by.
But again, you're speaking in broad terms. Everything's nuanced. Cutting off your penis is not the same thing as unfettering yourself from the horrible, evil capitalist.
You're cutting
system
off our evolutionary penis.
No, man.
I don't know if that metaphor works.
If anything, I'm giving you Viagra for that evolutionary penis.
All I know is me and Alex about to fuck.
Just read this book. It's called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, and I highly suggest you read it. It's fucking awesome. It's actually like a modern day uncensored version of Buddhism. And I read it and I started looking into Buddhism and I'm like, I don't need to give a fuck about a lot of these things. And like going back, the reason why you brought it up is I forgot the exact number. I don't know the exact number, but they said when people make a certain amount, this is what their happiness level is at.
It was I don't know, man. The Dalai Lama was pretty happy when he had slaves and he lived in his little sex commune.
But after that, it slowly diminishes.
And they were
killing
Muslims.
Yeah, but they say, like...
Here's the point against you is you're like, we're happier if we have less shit. Who has less shit than
terrorists? I didn't say have less shit. I'm saying...
Who has less shit than terrorists? All they have is sand, and that's why they're so fucking pissed off.
Right, but they also don't have food.
They're not enlightened.
And people are
they're
dropping bombs on their children. Again, that's just you're trying to put what I'm saying in a very simplistic context.
You are part
which
of
is
ISIS.
Exactly what the Illuminati wants you to do. They want you to think of things as simplistically as possible.
Obamacare and ISIS. That's all you ever talk about.
Well, I'm a big proponent of Obamacare.
Dude, I don't fucking leave it now. I don't even care. I'm like done, man.
Look at your stupid phone, really. Collect your candy, and shut the fuck up.
Don't look at your phone. There's so many more interesting things like, going on. My insurance went up a little bit.
These are going to be inside of you in the next 10 years. This is going to be shrinking it down. You're getting bigger now. You're smaller.
I can't wait.
Stick
it's
it
supposed
in your
to be
brain.
15 years before we have artificial intelligence, which with that we should have the power to put the computer in your head. Now imagine everybody on the planet, there's no more education, there's no more training for jobs. We all have access to all information at all times. With that will come a change in how we approach society. We're not going to fall for the okey-doke.
So are you saying that being more connected via technology is promoting more understanding and tolerance? Because I don't know if you've been on Facebook,
That's all part
of rent on the first iPhone versus yeah. seventh iPhone.
But that's all part of that's all part of growth. Where like the monkey that became us was a violent piece of shit that would throw poop at people, and you're like it wasn't oh it's cute. It was like ah that's a horrible creature, but it became us, and now we're gonna attach computers to our head and be something better. Brett,
maybe. There's I'm shit with numbers, but I believe it's called Project 2030. It's a group of scientists that are trying to just kind of rejuvenize the human essence and combining it with technology and things like that.
That sounds
They actually came out with this. There was this guy and he didn't have hands or arms or something like that. They actually
the salamander of a man.
They implanted something in his fucking head, and they had him use an arm that was across the fucking room and like pick shit up and move it around, and it wasn't even attached to him, and he was just sitting there
getting to the point where we can edit DNA so we could cure cancer and 90% of sickness across the planet with a shot. That's in the next 15 years. Along with that is going to come some very strange things.
Because Big Pharma and the medical industrial complex won't make any money off the one shot. So there's your capitalism impeding
otherwise
your progress.
Otherwise, we would be legal.
Well, then when you can change DNA, you can sell whatever you want to be. You could change your physical form. Whatever your idea of beauty is, you can commoditize.
So I can be,
don't sell
I could
everyone.
Be,
if you want to have a tail,
so I could be 6 foot tall.
Raptor claws.
I could be 6 foot tall.
I had an idea for a movie that takes place in this future.
It's called Big.
They know that this technology is coming. Somebody has a kid and they go, it has autism. Terrible. Really bad down the spectrum. But in 10 years, we're going to be able to edit the DNA, take it away. You want to keep the kid? They say they keep the kid. They raise it autistic.
But wait, they have the choice. They're not going to keep the kid? We're like,
crazy.
Here, take your fucking, take this kid back.
We'll wait.
I don't want this kid.
Goddamn pro-choice motherfuckers.
Raise the kid. It gets the shot. And now it has to adjust to the new world after 10 years of being truly autistic and living in that world now is relearning what it's like to be a person. I think make a great movie. I don't have the emotional capacity to write that tearjerker, but
it's called somebody, Flowers for Algernon.
My new sci-fi book. It's called Flowers for Algernon.
It's not how autistic people fly. They equate being autistic with being mentally retarded.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, we're all fucked.
Praise
Where
his
are
name.
We gone?
Korea's going to bomb
will be
us
able
into the Stone
that
Age
shot.
In the next few days.
Yeah. I'm saying, what happens to that gap between wealth and society when you got the haves and the have-nots and you can alter your DNA? And there's not a chance of random genius popping up through.
New ideas are always competing with old ideas. It's dialectical materialism, it's modernity, and old ideas are always going to lose. New ideas negate the necessity for old ideas.
I agree with that.
Those old ideas are going to go through death throws. And they're going to be their most violent.
But that's what I'm trying to make
most
you understand.
Ignorant
is one of your oldest ideas is inhibiting those new ideas that you
Media
want.
Media right now is in some death throes because of podcasting, because of internet TV, because of information
they
distribution.
Should be. They're terrible.
We're catching on to them. Yeah. And we're calling them out on it. And we're taking control of the room. We can publish to ourselves. So they're going to be their worst right now. We get to live through the worst of the media. With fucking Kim Jong-un and Russia. And they might just blow us all the fuck up, and then we don't make it. We don't make it that 15 years. It's a very crucial 15 years, and to go out with a bang,
you heard
we got
it here
Donald
first.
Trump
15
for the
years
death throes of the American government.
When they say technology is completely exponential in terms of anything. So, like, it's the last 5 years, now we're going to go, like, you know, something was made in, you know, 5 years, now it's going to be 1 year, and then it's going to be, like, a half a year, and, you know.
And once you have a computer
they
in your brain.
That advancement.
Go ahead.
Once you have a computer in your brain, you have an idea for something, you can do all the complicated math. You now know all the most complicated physics. And people that are naturally inclined to be great great at physics? Professors? What would you call them?
Physicists?
Whatever, they can just do infinite math in
let
their head.
Blast
imagine
you
the problems we're
going
to solve. So,
let me blast you
I'm
with
hopeful
this.
For the future.
I think if everyone became
death
that
throws.
Smart, we would all just commit suicide.
No, this is what we would do. Let's just say this. Let's say we become in that state where we are completely conjoined with all knowledge. Everyone is the way they want to be, or perfect, or however. What would you want to do to entertain yourself? Perhaps live in a world that is finite, and you have weaknesses and differences, much like a world that we live in now.
Your values are going to change. You may
and all,
like
a virtual
go.
Reality where everything is real. We feel pain. We hurt. We die easily.
You may let go of your physical body.
Someone
you may become
valid
you may become pure consciousness spreading across the universe, consuming all matter, and all matter and all gravity will come together and equal zero. And just before all things go out of existence, the eye of the Buddha, before it closes, it'll flick out a little fleck, and then it'll reopen, and the whole thing will start all over again.
My point is, what if we're living in that shit right now? What if we've already gotten there?
Take me to the moon.
We are a simulation, gentlemen.
I don't know.
This is a giant simulation.
I don't think so.
There's science behind that simulation theory. Have you heard?
Yeah.
Science behind bananas.
Like Bank of America thinks we're in a simulation. About that shit.
The Big Bang was just the computer being booted up, man.
Yeah.
This conversation went way off the rails. We were just talking about Trump not having any idea.
I said
idea
to my friend the other
doing.
Day, it was this would be my last weird thing I say. As I said, I know what I am. I'm an eternal being made out of light. I just don't know where I am. Am I in a simulation? Am I part of something infinite? And adjacent to that is time, which is something that I'm growing within. Where am I in juxtaposition to what I am? Smoke some weed. Think about that. Come out of base camp.
Well, we live in a singularity, and in a singularity there is no time, so everything's happening all at once. We just only have the capacity to perceive the present.
Maybe. Maybe that's to reach enlightenment,
time.
You have to let go. And like the last, your practice may get you so far, but then your practice becomes a golden chain until you can let go of your practice, until you completely let go, then you can't achieve enlightenment. So you're talking all these paths, but even the paths are a chain.
Or are they? I don't know. I'm lost.
Did you hear
they're doing
did you hear they're doing a reboot of The Matrix?
Yeah, they did. It was called what's that one with
Viva Vendetta?
Matrix 3?
No. What movie was
Insurgent?
We don't need another
The
Matrix.
Maze.
Scene 5?
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange was good.
Yeah. Was it? Oh, you saw Guardians 2, right?
Oh, fantastic.
Was it good? Don't spoil it, but
excellent.
Do you know who Jimmy Urine is?
Jimmy Urine?
Yeah.
I do not.
He's a band called Mindless Self-Indulgence I like. He was in the movie.
Oh, MSI. I love MSI.
Jimmy Urine's
I know Mindless Self-Indulgence. I know that band. Oh, it is one of the... I mean, I don't know really well, but I know. I've heard their music. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Shout out to the Eskimo Brothers Squadcast podcast. It's a podcast I've been doing lately. It's just four really funny fucking guys shooting the shit. None of them are comics. They nice enough to let me in. It's like 85 South show. If you like shows that are just fucking funny, it's not an agenda. It's not preachy. It's not trying to make it. It's just dudes being fucking funny. Go listen to the Eskimo Brothers. And I'm on there all the time. Ian Ellis. Go listen to my album. I hope they buy this. And then tweet at me and tell me if it's okay.
I hope
okay.
They listen to this for free and then buy the extra content.
Yeah.
And then the roast of Jack Baker is coming up. I believe it's June 6th.
What?
It's
June 6th?
Matt Elfrin. I'm going to screw up all the names. All right. Alex Stein, Katie Holmes, Katie. Jim Flanagan, Kristen Toomey. Who's the other Matt?
Drufke.
Big Matt. Matt Drufke. Jack
I
want to
roast Jack.
And
I wish I was... close enough to Jackie, let me roast him.
Well, Alec and Katie booked it.
Yeah, right
on. So it's nice to be here at a gathering of all the comics that Alec and Katie would like to book, to have booked them. It'll be worded better.
Where
by
are they
then.
Doing
come
it?
Out, it's going to be a solid burn.
A solid burn?
I'm not sure, but
just a bunch of milk jokes?
Just start looking at Facebook. Like, roast the Jack Baker, post will be coming up.
Bunch of milk and headache jokes?
Jack Baker
milk
said.
And
headaches.
Hashtag
believe in the kid.
Yeah, Jack's my guy.
Let's talk about the state of independent DIY shows in general. That's another thing I wanted to touch on.
Okay.
It seems like... this is more of like a suburbs community type thing right now, I'll just keep it to the suburbs because I don't know the city scene all that well. But it seems like a lot of good shows are going away, a lot of good mics are going away, and it's due to conflicts with the owners of the establishment. Because they don't want to compensate showrunners and comics for producing live entertainment in their venue. And I'm wondering, my question to you gentlemen is are we perpetuating this by being willing to do shows for dirt cheap or free? Or should we all, I don't want to say unionize, but band together and say, hey, listen, we're not going to run any more mics for free. We're not going to do any more showcases for free. And if that means there's less shows, so be it. But I see a lot of...
We're not that valuable of a commodity. Now, the truth is, there is a lot of money out there, and the fact that we're not getting paid is bullshit, but that's mostly
the guy who was just railing against capitalism. He's bitching about, we gotta get paid, though!
Well, it's the people that are setting up the show.
Why can't we just, can't we just do it for free?
Well, I'm working in the system that I'm...
Comics aren't good at business. I'm terrible at it. I'm terrible at promoting myself. I'm terrible at selling shit. Comics aren't good at negotiating.
So you're not a salesman.
But when you see... Like, bands are out there, they're making a shitload more money than any comic would ever ask for. We just want to be able to give gas money to, like, the people that come out and maybe buy some beers or something. Like, comics don't ask for a lot of money. And bars do make a shitload of money when your show is popping. But at the same time, I always just felt like it was an honor to have a show, and I would always do it for free. So I fall inside of, I love the art and the craft, and I don't care about getting paid for it, so...
And that's my question. But do you
think they are paying me? But
yeah. But if you, that's the thing is, you put
on
quality
you.
Shows.
You should
if you
get
put on
paid,
a quality show that, that's
want.
Bringing people out, but you're doing it for free. Then what is the incentive for the other venue to pay?
To
people?
Me, the venue and the stage time is more valuable than money.
Yeah,
but that's a personal decision.
State, but yeah, that's right where I'm at. I need to do as much as I can.
If I find a place with a patio that's cool and they're not going to turn the TV up and they're not going to replace me with like Spanish dancing
night.
Yeah,
I'm with both minds on it too. I mean, when Smoke Break was still going, we started that. We asked for no money. The only money we would ask for is when we had like a headliner that was a semi-draw out here. Like we would, you know, and we didn't give them a lot of money. We paid Kristen Toomey and we paid Drufke. And, you know, we paid them a little cent and not much for what they're worth. They basically did us a favor. But as the show grew, we were able to get a budget, and we started getting to a point toward the end there where we actually even paid our guests at least a little something, you know. But the question is, and this has been the question, I think, probably throughout the entire industry, wherever.
Right, man.
But in the city, too, I've heard this question posed where it's like, are you undercutting other comics by doing shows for free or for cheap? Are you underbidding people? It's like, you know, like, oh, the Mexicans come here picking the fruit for free, so there's no jobs for, you know, I mean, that's a fucking terrible analogy, but it's, you know.
I think a hot room is a hot room, and you can't have enough of them.
Yeah.
And if there's three popping shows in a night, that's great. That means you could potentially hit three mics in a night.
Yeah.
So fuck it, the more the merrier.
And that's the other thing, too. It's like you said, especially out here, clubs are finite. There's only, like, maybe 7 or 8 clubs to work at out here, which is not a lot.
Only 3 owners.
Most stage time you get is going to be, even if you are, you know, working the road a lot, if you want to work out here, most of the shows you're do our bar shows.
I think the mentality should be, if there's more comedy and it's good, that's good for comedy.
Yeah.
It's going to get people more interested in comedy. And you,
maybe we're not there yet, but if
the scene, for money.
If
like,
the scene was going to start thriving more, or the DIY shows became more of a regular thing, like a band at a bar, then maybe then there's a time to reevaluate and go, okay, you guys, we need to kind of band together and make sure there's at least a basement rate to charge for these kind of things.
Here's my advice if you want to start a show. Don't do it unless you're willing to do it for free. And once you're doing it for free, have a vision. And as your show grows, know the value of that growth, the value of the service to the bar. And then tell them what more you could do with money. And then take that money and with your vision, do some more things.
Oh, absolutely.
Things,
that's what happened with our show. We grew, we built a sort of an audience.
Don't ever be scared of other shows. Like,
you know, yeah.
Don't be in competition with other shows, because anything that's good for comedy is good for you if you're trying to be part of comedy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of slowly what we're moving into.
Go to Mojo's on Tuesday.
When do you come back to Mojo's?
They won't let me.
They'll let you come back.
No, I asked.
Mel's not even there anymore.
See. Because I had, maybe talk off mic, but I had hit him up to be like, I'm trying to get tape for different things that I'm working on, and I was like, I would love to at least get something there, because it's like, it's an important part of my comedy career, and I have no tape of me being there. And they're like, well, I gotta talk to this person, and they're like, it's not looking good, so I was like, whatever. But they're all cool with me. They've all been nice to me whenever I see any of them in public.
Dare I broach that subject of your exile from Mojo?
I'm infamous. I'm a supervillain. Like 50 Cent
I wasn't
said,
there for it, man. I remember I messaged you after it happened, but I was as... I don't know, man. We got to stop beefing with each other so much out here. Right?
See, you know. I asked this question about 6-7 months ago. I was told in the most specific vague terms I can say, no beef. There's not a beef going on right now. Now, I don't know what that
See,
means.
See, why does it sound like the mob?
But I heard there is not a beef.
I don't
beef.
Care.
Is there
just,
beef if I take one of your cigarettes?
You're good, man.
I know.
I love everybody.
I'm gonna go buy a pack.
I'm meanest to the people that I like, but it's because I like them. I never want to hurt somebody's feelings, like, genuinely. It keeps me up at night. Sometimes I'll be like, oh, shit, did so-and-so take it this way or that way? Because, like, I genuinely don't want
to be a
dick.
You do have to be careful out here with roasting other comics. You really do, though.
You know, you assume, like when Ian gives me shit all the time, I think it's fucking hilarious. But I think there are a lot of comics that just take it personally. They think you're trying to attack them.
There's a lot of
like,
new comics here, and when you're new, you're vulnerable.
Yeah.
And the people you start with, that's kind of your social group, but then you're trying to, link up and hook up with the people that are above you, and if those people are sort of broken off into, well, that person was an asshole, or this person doesn't like women, or this person, this, that, and the other, it influences you, because you don't have enough backbone to be like, I don't give a fuck.
But that call out, is definitely
all
a problem.
I want to be liked.
In comedy. I mean, Facebook, one Facebook status could, screw up your whole standing in the community over nothing.
It should be okay to get your feelings hurt and, be okay a couple days later. You should be able to actually be hurt and then forgive the person and move along just fine.
I think we should all be hugging Faison. So,
oh God,
he's my friend.
You just Voldemorted this podcast.
No, he's
I'll
my
be sure
friend.
To tag him in this.
I love him, and I say, if you got to keep an eye on him, keep an eye on him, but give him a shot. And
I don't know. See, I don't know
he's
enough.
He's got
about
mental illness. He's got whatever goes on in his personal life. Like all open mic comics I know are creeps. Like on some level or another, they're all kind of creepy.
Yeah, but you can't sexually assault women.
You can't. And from what I heard, it was more like gimmicks. It wasn't like ran up and grabbed him. It was like trying to trick him into fucking.
That's not what I heard. Yeah, trying to trick someone into fucking just as bad as just physically. There's no line there.
There is a line.
You can't manipulating someone into
all
fucking
you. All these
guys
are trying to trick girls into fucking them. That's what comedy is.
Yeah, devil's advocate. What is tricking someone into fucking you?
Exactly. Is it having a
comedy a real simple form of that, I think, would be.
So I'm doing that right now. I mean, at some level.
Maybe you get somebody drunk and take it back to their place, take advantage of them while they're inhibited.
What if you both enjoy alcohol?
But I've done that then, so kick me out.
But you are drunk.
What?
What if you are both like alcohol, you have a reasonable amount, but you both are technically drunk?
Well,
what do you want to call technically drunk?
That's, I mean, again, this is a very sticky subject, which is why we should talk about it, because it would be interesting.
Let's do this.
If it's consensual, if you consent, and you see, that's the weird line, is let's say I take you home, you take me home, Mike, and we have glorious sex night long, and we're both drunk, and then I wake up in the morning hating myself, and I decide I didn't want.
He's not gay
that.
In the morning. He might be gay late with a couple shots
being,
in him. But come 4
gay.
Or 5 a.m., he's
just
uncomfortable
what if he makes
with
you
his
breakfast?
Sexuality, and he wants you out of his bedroom.
But there's that weird line. Now, if I felt I was genuinely taken advantage of, like I was too drunk to really make a coherent decision, and you took advantage of me, then, yeah, I think there's a claim. But if it's just a whole, like, you've just changed your mind because you're worried that people are going to think I'm a whore or something like that, and I've decided that, it's weird. It's tricky. It's
tough. I don't want to shame the victim because that can happen by accident. But is it something, was it a repeat offense? Was it constantly pouring shots into multiple women?
Yeah.
Like there's Cosby trying a roofie one night and then Cosby roofieing 49 other women.
Yeah, he got acquitted though, so I think he's...
I didn't even follow that shit. Fuck Cosby.
Now you're just stirring up controversy.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
It seems like women on the scene, whether it's here in the burbs or in Chicago, because there's a higher volume of comics in Chicago, so there's more incidences, where, I think I wouldn't want to be a woman in Chicago doing mics, because there's a lot of
creepers. Didn't they catch another guy? They caught a guy that was actually roofying them?
They never got the motherfucker, as far as
I know.
No, I
heard a name. Courtney, told me a name. She's like, oh... they got that.
Tell us the name. We need to know.
I don't know. I could text Courtney.
Text Courtney now. I want to know the name. You're getting called out.
Surrey. Which Chicago comic was raping people? Calculating Amber Alerts.
Well, there was a lot going on about Andy Boyle and his new book.
That was it. Andy Boyle.
Oh, yeah. Andy Boyle was from, allegedly.
Who
again,
the fuck
I don't
is Andy
know.
Boyle?
Exactly.
Oh, jeez.
He was. From what I understand, it was the whole...
Let me find out what kind of room he books before I say fuck Andy Boyle.
He doesn't book any room.
Is it a paid gig? How much is he making?
He, allegedly, he was doing... This is all I know, and supposedly there's more, is that he was doing the whole, well, if you blow me, I'll book you kind of thing.
I know open micers that do that. I mean, one is personal accountability. Girls, don't blow anybody for spots. You're funnier than that. Believe in you're funny. You don't have to.
But if you offer, if you offer a spot for a sexual favor, you're a piece of shit and should be ostracized.
Yeah, yes. Both true.
But what if you book a comic because you're kind of trying to holler at him, but you do it legitimately?
You should be ostracized from the community immediately.
That's every fucking showrunner I know.
I never
or
booked
even if
anybody
there was something that happened before and they book him because of it. With
and
no
so
even.
Once you're busted once, are you out of comedy?
That's the big question, I guess. Maybe.
Is it like you need apologies and a growth period? Like you need a testimony. You can't just show up Tuesday like, guys, I'm good. Not going to happen again. Well, my bad. Jameson, you know. You have to have I saw the light. I tried to turn myself in. Wrestle with Jesus. My heart turned.
Well, let me ask you this then. I wish you guys don't know him as well, but if Faison were to go get help, and come back.
If he were to become a Christian,
like a year later,
if
and
he
say,
were to leave his Muslim ISIS ways,
okay.
But if he was to come back, if he was to genuinely make amends with everybody he hurt, and they accepted those amends, and he went to every showrunner community and said, "Hey, listen, I'd like to be on your mic. Will you allow me to come back? Do you think he should be?"
That's
able
between
to come
him
back?
And them. It's none of our fucking business.
And also, well,
yeah, it is. We're in the community.
He can move and have a somewhat clean slate. And if he is performed, he can show that in time and come back with evidence.
Right, well, that's my question is,
no,
should you be
the
able
age
to do
you
that?
Got yet.
It's so asking
like,
a lot.
People are praying that he makes it so that they can be like, they can bring him down.
I think step one is at least saying something. The fact that like nothing
see
was public.
Say something.
No. The fact that no rebuttal was said, no nothing. It was just removing myself and not even saying anything. It's kind of like, I saw him here. I saw him here. He wasn't at the mic. He was here on like a Friday or Saturday night.
He was in the bathroom.
No.
He had a stick in a box and he was trying to lure hoes.
No. I saw him here. I was talking to him. He's like, oh, you're still doing it? I'm like, yeah. I was just like, what the fuck happened? He's like, well, first of all, it's not true. I said, okay. I was like, why didn't you say anything? Like, why haven't you fucking said anything?
He told me
to
he
anybody?
Didn't say anything because
like,
he didn't want to. He didn't want to. He said he didn't want to add fuel to the fire. He was like, there's a lot of craziness going on. This happened a few months ago. This is the second time it had happened to him. Mm-hmm. And he's like, it's just a witch hunt. I don't even want to pay attention. And I don't think he's been on Facebook since. I think I went to tag him the other day. He's still not in shit.
No. He's on the Insta, though. He's on that IG.
Showing off his sneakers.
Yeah.
And his grandma. And his cool haircuts. And his roofied bitches.
That's
gross.
I don't know. I think that... I didn't know him that well, but I can tell that it's something that he loved to do, and it sucks that it had to get. I mean, I'm not saying that. But whatever happened, like that's fucked up. Yes, obviously, but if you love something that you're doing so much, maybe you should at least make an effort to portray that you're like, hey, you know what, I fucked up, or some sort of something. Like,
how much
if something like that happened to me, if something like that happened to me, and I've been doing this long, but something that happened to me, and I had to say like, fuck, I have to get rid of this part of my life that it's like changed me, like maybe a different person. Like,
how much does comedy mean to you? Are you willing to walk away from comedy, or are you like, I'm gonna get my shit together, I'm gonna stop drinking, or whatever the fuck your problem is?
Whatever it is,
comedy means enough to me. I try and get
comedy,
my shit together.
I would do anything.
I'm a reformed
villain.
I would
do anything.
Now I don't run a show anymore, but when I did, I'll include myself in this. What is our responsibility as showrunners, if any, to ensure the safety of all comics at our mic? Do we have that responsibility?
Best
and
we
if we
can
do,
is
what it
is. In a reasonable means.
Like, right? At Smoke Break, we had a list of people who weren't allowed there anymore. Mm-hmm. And we talked to the owners. We said, Brian O'Shea cannot be at our mic. You know, Faison can't be at the mic. Yeah. And other
Brian,
people at all. O'Shea? We have another hour to talk about Brian O'Shea?
I'm a hermit.
He's going to hear this and he's going to
Riddles will be the last one. The last
he was
thing
taking
that I know of.
Girls' phone numbers from the list. Because the reason is, whoever's running, Kevin... was taking phone numbers down that way if they liked your set, they'd mm-hmm. call you and be like, oh, maybe you come do a guest spot or be on our Monday night showcase and see if we want to book you off of that. And he was taking numbers, allegedly was taking numbers and harassing women that way. That's one of the things.
Which, by the way, Riddles took care of it immediately.
Yeah.
And they addressed it and he actually posted on Facebook saying that we've know about this. They took care of it very well. I don't want them that to think of a place that don't
know. No, Riddles is great.
No,
like
they
that,
they took care of it immediately. Yeah.
There's a special needs kid at my job. He's a handsome fella and has a ghetto black girlfriend. And big black woman tried to give her phone number to this white kid and he took it, but he was like, yeah, I don't want it. So he gave it to the special needs kid. The special needs kid called the black woman, even though he has a bad girlfriend. Dime piece. I don't know how he pulls it.
The special needs kid?
He called this other woman and she was pissed off it wasn't the right kid, so she called the store and complained that it was harassment. and the employees.
That is harassment. You can't just give out people's
name. But he's a special needs kid. He didn't know any better. And Faison is special.
He didn't know
needs.
Any better.
Yeah, let's be reasonable.
The kid didn't know any better. That's the same thing as like if your girl sends you a naked pic and you show other people that naked pic, like you're a piece of shit.
But that's why you shouldn't send naked pics the same
time. No, that's blaming the victim now. Because that's a personal thing between two people.
But that's a risk.
Here's something they say about comedy. All right, they say it takes 10 years to make it. I don't think it's 10 years to develop the craft to do it. I think it's 10 years to grow up as a human being. Because most people, when they start, they're in their late teens, early 20s, mid-20s. That next 10 years, you completely change as a human being. You're no longer a kid. You're no longer with your parents. You're either wifing up or you're staying single. You're making decisions about your life. You're coming out the closet. You're doing whatever the fuck you're doing. And then you're settled as a human being. And then you kind of have your voice.
I hope you're right.
A lot of comics are in bad places. A lot of them are suicidal, bipolar, insanely lonely. They're looking to meet people. They don't even have friends. And they're coming out here, they're making friends, they're talking to girls for the first time. How many open mic comics have you seen completely turn red when a girl talks to them? Like,
girls don't talk to anybody at open mics.
Yeah, right.
Thanks, Faison.
Not any Faison. Thanks to Faison.
But I'm saying, like, it's you got to give a little bit of slack and grace. Like, this is a very big part of everybody's life, and we're all growing and learning. Like, let there be... you got your freshman, your junior, your senior. Like,
but what does this have to do with keeping people safe at open mics? That's my question.
So your responsibility is to understand that you're working with maniacs. I run the most chaotic shows. I hand out shots. I smoke up all the comics. There's a lot of beer. There's beer giveaways. We have beer drinking contests on stage. We encourage all kinds of debauchery. It's the den of iniquity. The lapse of sin. I expect everybody to take care of themselves. You're a grown-up. You brought your ass to this party, take your ass home from this party. Now, there is liability. There's things I wanted to do at the Comedy Shrine, and Dave Sinker said no because he doesn't want to worry about comics driving home drunk and getting in an accident. That would fuck up his small business, which we're trying to protect. I wanted to do drunk conspiracies, like drunken history. I wanted to get drunk and live do drunken conspiracies. So... If you're the owner of the bar, there's a responsibility. If you're the host of the show, there's a responsibility. Your responsibility goes as far as remind everybody, be a grown-up. Uber home if you have to. You might keep an eye out to take people's keys away. It might not be up to you to say who's a creep and not a creep, but if I see someone, I've always said to like girl comics, I'll be like, hey, you know, so-and-so, kind of watch. Like,
or if you see something happening, you gotta do something about it. I think that's your responsibility also.
But if you know of somebody that's already like that, that's your responsibility for sure. What are we supposed to do, though? Predict the future? That some guys, you know, I guess
there's
it's a new
person. I would have told Johnny, like I would have told the girls, stay away from Johnny, but then Johnny gets with them and he turns out to be a great, like he turns his whole life around. These girls, like, rebuild him as a man. I don't know what relationships are gonna work out. And, like, if you bring a girl to a show, can I lean into her and go, like, I've been watching his sets. He's going through a real hard time right now. I may want to watch out with that Alex guy.
Well, that's different. I'm talking about if you see somebody being sexually harassed or being bothered as a showrunner, you can't wait for the owners.
That's not
to,
appropriate
you know,
anywhere.
Yeah,
like
right. But I think a lot of people, you know, are a lot of women maybe are concerned about stuff like that happening and. What
only
do we
break
need to
drug
do to
laws,
you know,
be responsible
to mitigate?
Yeah, can we stand up for them in the moment?
You have to.
That's what you got to do.
You know, it was just like when Tamale called out that two-way mirror.
At Cigars?
At Cigars and Stripes. You know, and like she wasn't even running that show, but the showrunners got real pissed at her for doing that shit.
Because it was national media news that they were creeps, and it wasn't like there was a camera back there, there wasn't a guy back there jacking off. It was just part of the business.
Not in that moment, but there was potential
it's
for that.
It's part of
to
their fanfare.
Sure.
But now you are attacking their business because of potential. And therein lies the question.
But that's
like,
a big potential. That's not like a little
thing. Do you protect women from potential or do you protect them from immediate threat?
Well, not even just women. Everybody in general. Because you
No, just women. They're inferior. They can't protect themselves.
Well, it was only in the
weed bathroom. They're not smart enough. They're not strong enough. It's our job as big, strong white males to step in there and make sure that these...
No, I understand the point you're making facetiously, but... You know, I'm not saying men. I'm saying if you're a woman running an open mic and you see inappropriate stuff going on, you know, comic Joe Smith, who probably is
what
a
if you
comic,
see
is
what
being
if you
a creeper,
what if you
possibly
see a
hurting somebody. You gotta step up and say something.
A huge slut, and she's known for
you book her.
She's known for fucking them and dumping them. And you see some young boy following her around like a puppy, and you go, oh, she's just going to break his fucking
heart. If she's doing it without consent, yeah. If the young puppy wants to be laid,
if a female comic said to you, I'm getting him drunk so I can bed him tonight, yeah, you would step in.
I'm talking about very like
serious
crimes.
We're talking about
like
real things that happen.
Preventing crimes from happening, not preventing people from...
By the way, we got to wrap this up in 5 minutes. Because Alyssa's got to go out. We got to set up the room.
Shout out to the Eskimo Brothers Squadcast podcast. Go listen to my album and come out to Base Camp.
I'm sorry to abruptly end this. We could do this again, though. We could do this again.
At
this
Chicago
group,
Open
if you
Mic.
Want. So, Ian, what else did you want to promote? Where I can find you?
At Chicago Open Mic on Twitter. Look out for the Jack Baker Roast. Listen to the Eskimo Brothers Squadcast podcast. Listen to my podcast, IanEllis.podbean.com, or just Ian Ellis on iTunes. I'm doing really dope shit. My audience should be way bigger. And I need feedback. Tell me. You know, I struggle with this shit. And shout out to KB, Kimberly Marion.
Oh, I miss KB so much.
Yeah.
She's
Leroy
doing
Hits.
Well from what I understand. Yeah. I miss KB. I wish she'd come back. I would like to work with her again.
She'll be here again.
Yeah.
You look out. She's coming like a storm.
Alex, anything going on with you?
No, my career sucks. Actually.
He wants to be on more podcasts, and so
I'll be hosting. I'll be hosting Riddles June. All of June. Yeah. Come on every weekend. Always fantastic lineups there at Riddles in Alsip, Illinois.
If you have any podcasts at all, contact me and Alex.
Yes,
I'm looking to promote my shit more.
We will
and
talk
so
shit about
Alex.
Creepy
it's
going to
be very regular. From as soon as I move, I'm going to try to get sooner, but for as soon as I move, it's going to be very regular from now on.
Next episode, we're going to talk about who's a hack. It's called the Burning Bridges Podcast.
I can add like the beep, like this fucking guy named Beep.
Who was it? And you can, that's the game. You can figure out who they were talking about, mm-hmm. which you would be able to do very easily.
Alex, where can they find you? Is there anything that you're on that you want to promote?
No, man.
Speaking of hacks, look who's rolling around.
Old Ironside of Stern.
What's up?
Brian Stern is here.
Do you have to wear sweatpants now because of the ball transplant?
No, because my incision for my surgery, it's like waistline.
Fucking grapefruit in there?
It's all, dude, like,
Jesus.
Oh my God.
Yeah, dude, they fucked me up.
You have a butthole on your
shirt. I do.
His nutsack like reaches all the way to his belly button now. You have no idea how disturbing this is.
What about me?
From the back of his taint to the top of his belly button, he has a fucking nutsack.
How are you?
Two giant balls. He doesn't even have hips anymore.
Right. You have cigarettes?
Mike. All right. Here. Let's wrap. Let's take a moment to wrap this shit up. All right.
Found.
Mike.
A hug?
Yeah. Mike, where can they find
you? A hug.
Find him right here at Josephine's.
Yeah, I'm running this magical show here every week with you at Josephine's. Mm-hmm. We got a showcase coming up June 16th. It's gonna be great.
Who's on it?
Bruca. Man.
We got Sam Barone. We got Tim Brennan.
Tim Brennan.
John Torres. Adam Goley.
Fucking
Marcus Hen or.
Marcus Hendricks.
Gabe Rodriguez.
And Bryce Friday.
Bryce Friday
will be here.
I'm sure they're all.
No. I'll be in Plano next week. Plano Brick Lounge in Plano. I'll be featuring. I don't know who I'm featuring for.
Hey, you I'm sure those guys are all great, but I'm going to say Tim Brennan is a man to watch. Like, if you really want to. If you love comedy, fucking watch Tim Brennan. He's a genius. I'm jealous of him every day.
Joe Brennan's
fucking awesome.
And he's getting hot. He's getting less rapey.
All right, guys. We got to sign off. We got to set up the room. So take it easy,
strong, everybody.
Bye. All right, we're done. Bye.
To hear every single one of you, and for your first performer of the evening, oh, fantastic! It is the wonderful, wonderful Ian Ellis. Give him a big round of applause.
Yeah! Godzilla music. That's right, Buff Daddy is here.
Yeah.
One more time for Maria Bamford. She's a Southern Belle, and I'm a white guy with my head that shaves. Welcome to another Brad Stupak production. White power, it's everywhere. I'm writing a new book. It's called The 46 Laws of White Power. It's in response to all the black people reading The 47 Laws of Power. It's a deep cut. You have to have black friends to get it. So, I don't expect you guys to understand all my urban references, cool as I am in my fedora and old sweater. These are sneakers. I don't know what kind, but they're sneakers. The shoe game is hot. I like this place. Is this Vaporwave? I feel like I just got really appealing to millennials. Fucking shitty generation. That's a generation with no social skills going to tell people how to talk. Stinks. Katie was talking about her boy, Alex Stein. Clapping for Alex Stein. He's fucking funny. He's a good dude too. So I love that guy, but his sister's hot. So I don't know. You might want to be a lesbian, because I heard she's funnier too. So I'm not saying you gotta leave the family, but that's why I was friends with him. Joking. It's an inside joke. Between me and his sister. His hot, hot sister. I was at the bar when we were talking about relationships. You know, when you're in a relationship for a while, you always feel like the grass is greener on the other side. And my wife called me on my bullshit one day, and she's just like, yeah, go ahead, do it. I'm sure there's someone out there just willing to suck your dick. I'm sure women are just lining up to give you blowjobs of free time. Go ahead. Go ahead, Romeo. Go find those people. All the diarrhea medication's over here, but go find those girls that want to suck your dick and then leave you alone while you play Xbox. Randy Dazzler knows what I'm talking about. All the dicks he sucked. I'm like, I'm trying to make a happy home. I suck your dick and leave you alone and you still don't love me. It's going to be really awkward for him. I have a new show starting. Does anybody know what day it's starting?
Sunday.
It is going to be at?
Base camp.
I've come to this show to promote my show. This establishment is great, but you should come to the one that's paying me. Sunday, May 14th over at Base Camp, we're starting a new show. Come hang out. It's a chance to get paid and stuff. Yay! Mike's gonna, Big Dick Dilbert's helping me out. He's helping me run it. That's what the set looks like when you didn't plan on going up. Your legs are up, you're very casual. I don't impress either of you, I'm sorry. What's something that you always want people to make fun of in your life? Long lines at work, stupid employees, people who buy clothes that aren't made out of leather. What are these non-Persians thinking? Your nipples can breathe. You need a leather shirt with pockets. Hold your light. As a white person, I hate being taken advantage of. Because I feel like I'm fucking it up for white people. It's hard enough out there for us. And when we get tricked, we feel so goofy. So silly when we get tricked. We're the biggest slavery people of all time. But sometimes we get goofed on. For the longest time, I had a truck. If people needed to move, they call me. I come help them out. No problem. Give me gas money, and they give me a meal. I thought that was great. I had to rent a truck the other day. I was being taken advantage of. It cost me $96 to get a truck. People should have been giving me $50 and a blowjob. I went and got a bigger bed. So I'm married. Sometimes my wife will talk to me. I'm like, shut the fuck up. And what she does is she'll just hit me in the face, and it hurts. But here's the key to a long relationship is space, all right? So my wife, if she finds a comfortable position to, like, sit down or lay down or just feel comfortable, that's as far as she'll go. So I call her all kinds of bitches and hoe. If she can't reach me, she won't hit me. She's not getting up once she's comfortable. So I went and got a bed that's so big I can roll over 2 times and still be on the bed. Now I can say any fucking mean thing I want. She can't hit me for shit. That's the key to a happy relationship. That and switching to the hotter sister. My name's Ian Ellis. I love you. Good night.
Ian Ellis, everybody.
Yeah.
I couldn't date a girl. I couldn't date a woman. You have to go down on them. With your mouth like. No. I don't think so. You got to put a bib on it. What? Like a lemon square? I don't even know. Not pleasant. I bet the next gentleman knows how to go down on
Caroline.
Caroline.
See, Caroline, all the guys would say she's mighty fine.
Mighty fine.
But mighty fine only got you somewhere half the time. And the other half either got you cussed out or coming up short. Yeah, and I dig this now, even though you need a golden calculator to divide the time it took to look inside and realize that real guys go for real down to Mars, girls. Yeah, I know you like to think your shit don't stink, but lean a little bit closer, see roses really smell like boo boo boo. Yeah, roses really smell like boo boo boo. I know you like to think your shit don't stink, but lean a little bit closer, see roses really smell like boo boo boo. Yeah, roses really smell like boo boo boo. Caroline, she's the reason for the word, bitch. I hope she's speeding on the way to the club, trying to hurry up and get to a ball or a stag or somebody like that, and try to put on her makeup in the mirror and crash into a ditch. Just playing. She needs a golden calculator to divide the time it takes to look inside and realize that real guys go for real down to Mars, girl. Yeah, I know you like to think your shit don't stink, but lean a little bit closer, see roses really smell like boo boo boo. Yeah, roses really smell like boo boo boo. Don't stay, but lean a little bit closer, see roses really smell like boo boo boo. Yeah, roses really smell like boo boo boo.
Well, she got a hottie's body, but her attitude is party. When I met her at a party, she was hardly acting naughty. I said, shawty, would you call me? She said, pardon me, are you balding? I said, darling, you sound like a prostitute pausing. Oh, so you're one of them freaks, get geeked at the sight of an ATM receipt, but game been peaked, dropping names, she's weak, tricking off, this bitch's laws must take me for a geek, quick way to eat, neat place to sleep, rent a car for a week, trick for a treat, no go, on the raw sex, my ace test is flawless, regardless, we don't want to get involved with all them lawyers, and judges, just to hold grudges in the courtroom, I want to see your support, bro, and I support you.
I know you like to think shit don't stink, but lean a little bit closer, see roses really smell like boo boo boo. Yeah, roses really smell like boo boo boo.
Yeah,
I know you like to think yo shit don't stink, but lean a little bit closer, see roses really smell like boo boo boo. Yeah, roses really smell like boo boo boo. Don't stay, but lean a little bit closer, so roses really smell like boo-boo-boo. Yeah, roses really smell like boo-boo-boo. I know you like to think your shit don't stay, but lean a little bit closer, see roses really smell like boo-boo-boo. Yeah, roses really smell like boo-boo-boo. Better come back down to Mars. Good with chasing cars. What happens when the dough gets low? Bitch, you ain't that fine. No way. No way. No way. Better come back down to Mars. Good with chasing cars. What happens when the dough gets low? Bitch, you ain't that fine. No way. No way. No way. Crazy bitch. Crazy bitch. Crazy bitch.